take hold of your own baptism and your daily return to the font as you again renounce the devil and confess faith in the triune God. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. "Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Samson Bryan, according to your boundless mercy, and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam, and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times, with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, from ancient times the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates to assist parents in the responsibility of raising children in the faith. Sponsors, you are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. You are to serve as witnesses of Samson's baptism. You are to pray for him every day. Support him in his ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage him toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Finally, you are at all times to be an example to him of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Andrew and Allie, is it your intention to serve Samson Bryan as sponsors in the Christian faith? Then say yes with the help of God.
Yes.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Hear the word of God. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. You may be seated. Samson and Ryan, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Samson Bryan, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes.
Samson Bryan, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting.
Amen.
Please stand. Let us pray. Almighty, most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted Samson Bryan the new birth in holy baptism, and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Peace be with you. We continue with the intro.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me.
For you are my rock and my fortress.
And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me.
Into your hand I commit my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
Thank you.
Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 7th chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adores the humble with salvation.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song.
It is praise in the assembly of the godly.
Let Israel be glad in his Maker.
Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King.
Let them praise his name with dancing,
making melody to him with tambourine and lyre.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adores the humble with salvation.
Let the godly exult in glory.
Let them sing for joy upon their heads. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adores the humble for salvation.
The second reading is from the first letter of St. John, the 3rd chapter. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. And for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O
Christ. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And the saints are alive with Christ. Our reading from the book of Revelation, St. John's vision that he received of the saints. I'll read a few verses again. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." One of the elders asks, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" His answer, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Thus far the text. Over the past 3 weeks, we've touched on Scripture alone, grace alone, and faith alone, those three great touchstones of the Reformation. Today, I want to begin with another alone, another sola. This one doesn't come from the Reformation, and it isn't about the Bible or about theology, so fair warning on that. Instead, this one comes from a sociologist named Robert Putnam. In one of his books, he describes a particular problem of our times as the fabric of society comes apart. The title of his book says it all, "Bowling Alone," with emphasis on the adverb, alone. Loneliness has become an epidemic. It's even worse today than it was 20 years ago, and it's been especially bad over the last 30 months. You know why. We're more alone than ever. I'm sure you've noticed it at some point, in a waiting room, at a restaurant, on a walking path, two people together, maybe even sitting at the same table, yet entirely alone. Alone with the blue light of a screen, of course. Now, Christians also suffer from loneliness. But I don't just mean here the general loneliness of our modern world. Oh, we suffer that as well. But Christians suffer a particular kind of loneliness, spiritual loneliness, isolation from others because of our faith, because we believe in Jesus and because we follow him. We find it hard to be alone, but it's sometimes even harder and even lonelier to be a Christian. What do I mean? I can think of a number of different examples. I think of our friend Bishop Johanna Pohjola of Finland. A year ago, about this time, he was here with us and he talked about being on trial for hate speech because he holds that marriage is between a man and a woman. Since then, he's been acquitted by one court, but the prosecution has appealed to a higher court. I think of Christians in Pakistan and Iran, who face hostility and persecution and live their faith in very difficult circumstances. I think of our missionaries, men, women, families, who uproot their lives to serve far from those they love for the sake of the gospel. They treasure Christian fellowship and the sacrament of Christ's body and blood on the rare occasions they have it. And I think of you. I think of our youth in junior high and in high school, of our grown children in college, of our public school teachers, and of you in your workplaces and your community. Can you openly be a Christian without being mocked? Do you have Christian friends? Who will support, who will encourage, who will challenge you to be faithful to Christ? And I think of you, you wives, often wives, who come to church alone with kids, but without your husbands, and of you who are single and widows and widowers and are new visitors. Do you feel it too? Do you feel alone as a Christian? I am here to tell you today on this All Saints Day that you are not alone. There's someone else who felt the same way. Many who have felt the same way, but one who comes to mind today. Saint John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Christ Jesus. Saint John, whose revelation we heard, who was on the island of Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And what that means is this: Patmos was probably the last place that John wanted to live and the loneliest place you could imagine. It was not the sort of island that you go to for vacation. It was a place you went for exile. Now, you might say, well, at least John didn't have to go through what the other apostles went through, being flayed alive, being crucified, being stoned, being beheaded, and so forth. By the time John is on the island of Patmos, Peter and Andrew, James, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, James the Less, Matthew, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Matthias had all been martyred for their faith. That's how alone John was. So he's in exile on the Lord's Day, and what could be more lonely and worse than being a Christian alone on Sunday? That's where St. John is when he shares with us the revelation given to him by Jesus. What does he see in that moment when he feels so alone, when he feels perhaps like the last Christian on earth? He tells us, "I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" Jesus pulls back the curtain for St. John, for lonely St. John, and for you. He lifts the veil, and John sees what he'd never seen before, but what he most assuredly would see again. He sees eternity. He sees the life of the endless world to come. He sees what was and what is and what forever will be. The saints, triumphant, clothed in bright array, clothed from their baptisms like Samson today, who came dressed in white because he is robed with the righteousness of Christ. St. John sees so many, many saints from so many, many places and so many, many times. Even, believe it or not, our own. The saints, not crucified, not slain, not curled up in fetal position, alone and afraid, but standing together and wholly alive. Just like the Lamb who'd been slain, but now stands, the first to rise from the dead. If loneliness is a foretaste of hell, and I think that it is, then communion is a foretaste of heaven. And John has it. He has it even when exiled to an island for his faith. He has it even when no other Christians are near. There on the Lord's Day, he worships in the communion of the saints. He worships in the fellowship of those who belong to Christ Jesus. Have you ever wondered why we pray the Lord's Prayer when we are alone with the words, "Our Father"? Not my Father, not me, but our Father, because we are praying in the company and fellowship of all of the saints, living and dead, near and far. A great cloud of witnesses surrounds John, surrounds us. And what is it that defines the saints? It's not what they did. Although the saints did many wonderful and glorious things, what defines the saints is what they wear and how they sing and who they worship. One of the elders asks John, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" John shrugs. "You know, this vision's been given to me. Why don't you tell me?" So the elder tells him, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Those words are so beautiful, and yet there is something so dark behind them. Something behind that white that is dark. There is the dark of tribulation, of great tribulation. There is the dark of loneliness. There is the dark of standing on earth by themselves, though not alone in Christ. There is the dark of their blood poured out. And behind their blood is the blood of Christ. You are not alone. But someone else was. Someone else was more alone than you or I or St. John will ever be. More alone because of who he was, even more than you are for being a Christian. And you can see the one who was alone. You can see him kneeling down and praying in a garden while his best friends sleep a stone's throw away. Some friends they were, as he sweats drops of blood. You can see him alone with a cup standing in front of him, a bitter cup to swallow of God's wrath. You can see him alone when they come to the garden with swords and clubs and everyone else scatters, but he is bound. Alone when he stands trial before a hostile priest and a mocking king and an indifferent governor. Alone as he is mocked, whipped, spat upon, crowned with thorns. Alone hanging upon a cross innocent. Alone in giving his body and pouring out his blood. So alone that you know the words he cried from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And then having breathed his last, he was laid alone in a grave. And if that's where it ended, we really would be alone. And John really would have been alone on the island of Patmos. And we would be, of all people, most to be pitied. But having suffered alone, having died alone, having paid for our sins alone, Jesus rose again on the third day. The Lamb who was slain is standing. And he appeared to the disciples in their loneliness. He restored them with his word. He declared to them his peace, and he sent them out in his name to forgive sins, to baptize, to make known to others the body and blood of Christ in holy communion. He gave them a promise: "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He sent them out into the great tribulation. He sent them out to suffer and often to feel alone, but he did not send them out alone because he had promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And that promise is yours as well. And to remind us that we are not alone, we have All Saints' Day. We have not only our Lord Jesus Christ on the throne, but we have the great cloud of witnesses gathered around us, many of whom we will name today in that prayer of thanksgiving. Saints who have gone before. Saints to whom we can look with hope and with great joy, because we belong with them. Dear Saint, you are not alone. And in Christ, you never, ever will be. I want to read for you now a section from a Lutheran pastor named Wilhelm Leah, who wrote a little bit about the communion of the saints and what joy it gives to him. He said this: "To me, it is such a joyous thought that I am not alone, that I do not travel by myself, but that I am accompanied on my pilgrimage through the valley of the shadow by a communion of believers. Right in the midst of this life's barren wilderness, this thought can dissolve all sorrow in forgetfulness. Yet this communion of saints is no mere thought, but an unshakable certainty. I know from the mouth of God that I am not alone. I rejoice over this from the bottom of my heart. Unfortunately, though, my joy is not unmixed with sorrow, for death takes away many whom I love. Like candles, one after another, in the bright circle of my friends goes out. Think of John, Peter, Andrew, James, Matthew, gone. The empty places turn dark, and seldom does another star fill the void. This brings pain and longing. But I do not forget that these brethren of whom I speak are just hidden from my sight and have been placed in higher positions in the kingdom of God. Those who live in the Lord, and those who, while out of the body, abide in him, those who are still pilgrims, and those who are already home, those who walk by faith, and those who walk by sight. These are not two separated flocks, but one before God in Christ Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we walk by faith. We are still pilgrims. We live in the Lord here, but we are not alone, for we are surrounded by this great communion of saints. We have one mediator, one high priest, Christ Jesus our Lord, but there are many of us who have our eyes fixed on him, many of us who are sheltered by his presence, many of us who belong to his flock, whom he brings to the quiet waters, many of us whose tears he has already begun to wipe away. So let us follow the saints, follow them in faith, follow them in good works, follow them as examples of those who have received God's grace before us. And let us press forward with our eyes fixed on Christ. Let us wear our white robes of Christ's righteousness. Let us raise our palm branches high, and let us raise our voices with all the saints. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. For with them, in Christ, we are never alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. For deliverance from all that harms the body and assaults the soul, and for trust to commend ourselves, our bodies, and all things into the hand of our faithful God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all ministers of the gospel, and for the congregations committed to their care, especially for Pastor Adam Tafari, his mission to the Oromo, and the newly forming congregation of Bethel Lutheran, that they may proclaim the comfort of Christ's sacrifice and the joy of his resurrection to all who grieve their sin and mourn their dead. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For fathers and mothers, that they would be strengthened to raise their children in the faith, for those who long for families, that their parents, that their prayers would be answered, and for expectant mothers and their little ones, especially Laura and Kay, that they would be preserved and protected. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all people in their work, especially Paul and the staff and student athletes of Holy Cross men's basketball, that they would be kept in good health and honor God in all they do. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation, that we would be wise and at peace as we elect our leaders, and for all in authority over us, that God would supply them with his blessing, that they may be inclined to his will and walk according to his commandments, and that he would grant wisdom to our citizens and courage and competence to our leaders. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, suffering, or recovering from illness or injury, especially Karen, Al, Diane, Braden, Vicky, and infants Thomas and Malin, that the Lord would be their rock and fortress in their distress, and with thanksgiving both for the medical care received by Matthew and his return home, that he would gain strength and not lose heart throughout his long recovery. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are nourished by the holy body and blood of God's Son, that they may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at his heavenly banquet, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, that they and we would be brought at last to the place of everlasting light and life, to see God face to face and live in his presence forevermore, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering with thanksgiving the saints whose lives and witness point to Christ, who believed in him from the world's beginning, and who are now wholly alive in his splendor, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Job, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, Moses, David, and Samuel, all righteous rulers and faithful prophets, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Joseph, the guardian of our Lord, the great cloud of witnesses, the millions of martyrs, including Stephen, James, Peter, and Paul, and all the apostles, especially St. John, Cecilia, Agatha, Lawrence, Ignatius, Polycarp, Felicity, Perpetua, and all the martyrs, including those in our own time whose sufferings glorified God. Remembering all faithful evangelists and teachers of his word, including Martin and Carl, Pastor Mike and Pastor Jim, all peer artists and authors, including Johann, Felix, George, Clive, Dorothy, Gilbert, and Flannery. Remembering the saints who loved us here, prayed for us here, and led us by their holy lives and their faith in Jesus, the blessed dead who died in Christ and who stand now in his presence in strength and beauty, especially those from our congregation, Janet, John, Jesse, Vicky, Anne, Shirley, Bob, David, Dan, Irvin, Gary, Duncan, Tom Sr., Walter, Tammy, Stacy, Joe, Mim, Eileen, George, Ralph, Ethel, Herman, Sam, Dot, Connie, Donald, Anna, Donald, Ted, B, Toy, Rachel, Lempi, and Toivo. Remembering those from among our family and friends, Alfred and Mary, Myra and Joe, Cliff, Vonji, George, Elna, Bill, Mark, Michael, Bill, and Cliff Sr., Bud, Pastor Frank, Jean, and Aline, Lauren and Evelyn, Philip and Nancy, Kyle, Philip, John, and Catherine, Eva, Joanne, Richard, and Gladys, Alice, Daniel, Father Donat and Huguette, Mildred and Maury, David, Ronald and Pauline, George and Eva, Mamie, Edward and Margaret, Kirk, Jim and Agatha, Barbara, Donald, Grant and Gwen, and Francis, Doris, Roger, Ernest and Allison, Lillian and Barbara, Hugh, Ragnar, Bill and Issa, Joanne and Carl, David and Mary Ellen, Lempi, Junis, Marty, Yorma and Marja, Brunhilda, Elvita, Harold, James, Jerry, and Edith, Vivian, Edward, Catherine, Robert, and Ruth, Anna, Eunice, and Eugene, Susan, Emily, Adolf, Bertha, Dolph, Hedvig, Carl, Lillian, Stephen, Susan, and Karen, June and Walter, Charles and Phyllis, Dorothy, Harold, John, Hilma, Larry, Herbert, and William, Charles, Frederick, Gladys, Mildred, and David Sr., Dave, Kathy, Sean, Amby, Anna, Charles, Dora, Ino, Floyd, Kristen, Pastor Herman, Sylvia, Velma, Julie, Don, and Inez, Lino, Tiny, and Gisela, John and Shirley, John, Jose, Maria, and Mario, Jim, Jean, Jeffrey, John, and Dorothy, Jesse May, James, Nancy, and Ralph, Glennis, Lucy, Christine, Virgil, and Desire, James, Lillian, Minnie, and Reva, Bill, Helene, Diane, Sherry, Mike, Gloria, George, Grace, Peter and Gloria, Mike and Josephine, Carmilla, Daniel, Donald, Gary, Janet, Janine, Mark, Martha, Robert, and Zephyr, Andy, Anthony, Bonnie, Dorothy, Carl, and Lewis, Dot and Jay, Ron, Jane and Craig, Eunice and Sylvester, Jean and Leo, Rachel, Robert, Raymond, Catherine, George, Derek, Joseph, Walter, David, Gladys and Phil, Claudia, Erica, Inga and Al, Emil and Margaret. Remembering Mary, the Mother of God, and all who like her trust his word and now behold his glory, that we might join all of these in faith and in steadfast witness as we pass on the sacred deposit to those who will follow us, we thank and pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Almighty God, we give you thanks that you have washed us in the blood of the Lamb, written our names in the Lamb's book of life, and made us a royal priesthood and heirs of an eternal inheritance. Though we deserve none of your mercy and are unworthy of your saving grace, we pray that you would hear our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whom, with whom, and through whom all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deep. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints. For the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.